Trump met with Obama today. I'm sure most of you have seen the pictures. I'm sure most of you at least have seen the video. So you're in the loop. I'm not talking to, you know, nobody here. But what a trip. What a trip. And a couple things on it but that I wanted to, address. But, Obama was supposed to do a ceremonial picture. Like I said, man, it's like liberals. They're the first ones to call everybody every name in the book, you know, rather it's not keeping with tradition or listen, even the Merrick, the Supreme Court nominee, even that, you know, the media and the Democrats tried to spin the whole Judge Merrick appointment as being unheard of. Something that was, well, this doesn't exist in our democracy. This doesn't have, wait, bull, the Democrats, the media wasn't going to play video, but you know how many videos they had? You know how many people on the left had come out and said, hey, a Supreme Court vacancy should not be filled in the last months of a outgoing president. It just doesn't happen. But the liberals were acting like this was some unprecedented thing. This is unprecedented. No, it's not. You guys are the ones that started this. Talked about it yesterday. Mark my words. Remember, they're also the ones that did away with the needing 60 votes for judicial appointments. Remember, they're the ones that did away with that. You only needed a simple majority. Watch what happens when Trump starts using that. You watch. They're going to be outraged. What? Nope. Wait, what is going... Watch, mark my words. So, today, the tradition was Trump and Melania are supposed to have taken a, I don't know, what outgoing family picture or whatever the hell it is with Obama and Michelle. Laura Bush and George did it with Obama and Michelle and passed. Presidents have done it, but guess what? Obama and Michelle didn't want any part of it today. They didn't want any part of it. Again, imagine W not doing the picture with Obama. What would people be saying? That's just another racist. That's just a racist. That's what we'd be hearing today. Can you believe what a racist George Bush is? He didn't want to take a picture. He didn't want to take a portrait with Obama because he's racist. We would have been hearing that nonstop. But instead, it's like, meh. Eh. Oh, what? Well, that's not a big deal. And to listen to everybody, go, well, you know, if Trump keeps this demeanor, if you know, he was he was He was very gracious. He was just very. He won. What's he supposed to do? Sit there and go, "What's up? I beat your bitch. What's up? You want to see my ding dong?" I mean, what's he supposed to do? I don't get this. I can't fathom that we are where we are as far as 2016 and even politics, media, pop culture. I can't believe that people don't get that Trump wanted to win. No different than Tom Brady wants to win. No different than, at least it used to be, our people want to win. You want to be the best. And Trump came into this process 16 years ago, or 16 months ago, 16 years ago, 16 months ago, having the media against him. And stop when you idiots go, seriously, you lib moron, never Trumpers and liberal retards. Stop when you tell me, "Oh, he got all of this free media." I will repeat, free media means nothing when the free media is talking about you being Hitler. Stop. Just stop. All of this free media was not, "Man, this Donald Trump, he's an awesome dude. Wow." It was, "Here's a 25-minute speech." And then they would come out of it, and they would have a panel, and that panel would go, "Jesus Christ, are you effing kidding me? He sounds like Hitler. How is that? How is that some type of positive free media? How? When he came down the escalator and said, "Mexicans, Mexico doesn't send their best." They say, you all know it. You all know the spiel. And when he got done, it was wall-to-wall coverage of somebody who just said the most racist, xenophobic, and horrific thing in the history of the world. And that was how he started his campaign. So that free media is good? Really? That free media is good? When he's at a rally and there's 15,000 people, and they take a picture of the rally, and they go, "Look, he's making everybody say a pledge, just like Hitler, just like Nazis. Look at them all. Bunch of Nazis. That's positive? Stop it, stupids. Deal with it. You lost. Never Trumpers, you lost." So, back to the Oval Office meeting. Trump started 16 months ago. The media was against him. The Republican Party was against him. Democrats were against him. He had less money than everyone. He had less of an infrastructure than everyone. He didn't have the super PACs. He didn't have the experience. He had nothing compared. He had nothing compared to all the candidates he ran against. He had nothing compared to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton's infrastructure. I mean, guys, he had Hope Hicks. Like, Hope Hicks. A lot of the people he had were people that worked for him on golf courses. I mean, Hope Hicks is somebody that was basically a press secretary for Trump International, for Trump Steaks, for Trump Water, for Trump Golf Courses. He didn't have Ari Fleischer. He didn't have Dana Perino. Remember, we talked about this ad nauseum. Half of the reason the Never Trumpers, which are the Ari Fleischers and the Perinos, hated Trump is because he didn't play ball. That when they all went for him like Club for Growth, wanting money or jobs, he was like, F you. Why do I need to hire you? You didn't get so-and-so elected. Karl Rove despised Trump. Why? Because Trump said, Karl Rove, he's an idiot. They didn't get Romney elected. They didn't get McCain elected. So here's a guy that 16 months ago defied everybody. He didn't just go outside the box. If the box was sitting in the living room, he went to another house halfway across the world. Okay? And that box stayed in a tiny living room in Biloxi, Mississippi. So him and a very small group of advisors plotted a strategy. Now, some of you might not like that strategy. Some of you might not like the things that he said. But at the end of the day, it was about winning. Okay? It was about winning. There's not, listen, you play football, you're a boxer, you're UFC. You say, what are the rules? Well, here are the rules. You just can't kick someone in the balls and gouge their eyes. Okay, everything else I could do? Yeah. Can I bite? Nah. But you can bite if you do this form of fight. Whatever. Whatever. But you win. You play to win. The sportsmanship comes after you win. Everybody congratulates everybody else after you win. Everybody sits around and has a beer after you win. There's no rules. You play to win. Winning is everything. When you're in college, do you aim for a B? Do you sit there and go, man, I really want a B. What about an A? No, I don't want an A. I want a B. Why not an A? Well, to get an A, I really got to make sacrifices. I really, really got to do a bunch of stuff that I just don't want to do. So I want a B. Who does that? Seriously, who does that? I mean, have we been so destroyed by liberals, by the media, that being the best, winning, being superior is now a bad thing? Seriously, have we been destroyed that much by liberals, Obama, the media, that saying, I want to be the best, is now a dirty thing to say, a bad word? It was never like that. It was never like that when I was growing up. It wasn't like that. It was all about being the best. If you were number three, if you were number two, it wasn't good enough. It was about being the best. When I brought home a report card, when I brought home a report card and I had a B, my dad didn't go, "That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Here you go. Let's go have ice cream." He would go, "That's really good. Hey, you did a great job, but how can we get that to an A? How can we get that to an A? You got a B. How do we get it to an A? Because you did good, but ultimately the best is an A." That's how I was brought up. You don't say you're a loser, you got a B. But you say, very good, but there's one more ladder to go. There's one more height to reach. And that's an A. "Well, Dad, in order for me to get an A, I'm going to have to study an extra hour every night, and I might not be able to go outside and burn ants with my friends with a magnifying glass." Well, okay, then guess what? That's what you're going to have to do. We used to be like that. And there's nothing racist about that. There's nothing xenophobic about it. So here's Trump, who's outmanned, outgunned, outmoney, out everything. And when people go, "Well, he's a billionaire, yeah, but he needs that money to live, stupid. He has a business. Listen, I had millions and millions of dollars from a business, a film production company that I had. I then decided to get into the pro wrestling business, and I pumped money from my production company into my wrestling company on the hope that the wrestling company would succeed and I would make all my money back and life would go on and everything would be great. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, they didn't take money from their own pockets. When they needed money, they went to Paul Begala or Mike Murphy on the Republican side and said, "Hey, man, yeah, you don't know if they're going to vote." And in the primaries, they voted. And those same idiots went, "Yeah, but it's different in the presidential election." Why is it different? "Well, because now it's real." Well, what wasn't real about this? "Well, don't worry, you'll see." Okay, well, guess what? We saw. So, again, not to get too far off of the Obama-Trump meeting today, where Obama broke protocol and refused to take the picture, and the media doesn't want to, you know, talk about that. They want to talk about the other protocol that was broke, which we'll get to in a bit. And of course, it was done by Trump. But Trump did everything everything opposite of what the establishment said to do. Liberals, money people, media, ad buys, everything. And he won, okay? And he won. Him and his team sat down and they said, okay, how do we win? Well, you're going to have to say this. You're going to have to do that. He said, I'll say this and I'll do that. And people went, oh man, that's going to be dirty. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be divisive. It's going to be nasty. And Trump said, well, are we playing to win? Or are we playing to get second place? Because if you don't think the Democrats are going to do everything at their disposal to win, you're out of your effing mind. You don't think Trump and them knew all that stuff? Grab them by the pussy, all that. You don't think they knew that stuff was coming? Of course they knew. Of course they knew. You don't think they knew Trump University? Of course they knew. The charities? Of course they knew. They knew everything. Of course they knew. They knew. So for 16 months, Trump did everything that he had to do to win. End of story. End of story. End of story. The name of the game is to win. The name of the game is to be first. All of my young listeners out there who've been indoctrinated by their douchebag liberal parents, let me smarten you up. The name of the game is winning. The name of the game is being the best. We are who we are as a nation because somewhere people accomplish things and became the best. You have iPhones, smartphones, iPads, computers. All of those things are what they are because somebody like Steve Jobs said, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to create something that is so unique, so profound, and something that people cannot live without. End of story. He didn't say, you know what? I think I'm just going to make something that, you know, is mediocre. People don't do that. At least they didn't. I mean, if people did that, there would be still slavery. Women wouldn't be able to vote. We wouldn't have airplanes. I mean, the list goes on and on. But there were people that said, we can't be the best if part of our population isn't allowed to vote. We can't be the best if part of our population isn't treated like a human being. Like an equal. We can't be the best if it's going to take us 3 weeks to get from point A to B. So Trump did everything that he had to do to be the best and win. Some of you might not have liked it. Some of you might not have liked his language. But guess what? You do what you got to do to win. And now he won. And now you put a lot of that stuff in your back pocket, because in 4 more years, you're going to have to bring it back out. But when people go, you know, he was so different when he was meeting with Obama. And I think that gave a lot of, you know, hope to so many people that a President Trump will be different than what? The guy that's trying to win? Yeah. Yeah, you moron. What don't you understand, or you do understand, but it doesn't fit the narrative? I mean, come on. Every single person walking around today, with the exception of a handful of liberal douchebags, does things in a certain way depending on their settings. I mean, prime example would be, how do you act when you're around your grandparents? How do you act when you're around your spouse's parents? How do you act around your parents? How do you act around your friends? How do you act around your spouse's friends? How do you act around your coworkers? In every single one of these instances, you act a little different. So why do you think, if you're running for president, that would be any different? Because that's not what we're used to? Well, Jesus Christ. Black people using a water fountain, no one was used to it. Women voting, people weren't used to it. Things change. Institutions crumble. Empires fall. Dictatorships become democracy. Trump won. Trump won. He's not going to walk into the Oval Office and say, hey, how you doing? Lock her up. Lock her up. Why? Why would you do that? Just like all of these media people are going, so are you still going to lock Hillary Clinton up? Are you still going to appoint a special prosecutor? And I've watched panels go, well, you know, he said that. Okay. And Obama said he would close down Gitmo. There's a lot of things Obama said he would do. Obama told the Syrians, if you cross this line, there's going to be hell to pay. They crossed the line. He didn't do anything. Well, you know, Trump, you did say you would lock her up. Well, guess what? I'm not going to lock her up. There. End of story. Well, how is that so? Well, you know, you did say these things. Do you think I did what I had to do to win? Get over it, stupid. Get over it. That's what I wish Trump would just look at them and go, listen, just because you live your life in subpar and being the best is not something you strive for, so in turn, you don't understand how other people strive for the best. I can't help you. You'll always be living this life of mediocrity. But me, I do whatever I got to do to be the best. I did whatever I had to do to win the presidency. I'm not going to be on a CNN documentary that says almost there or so close. 3 months ago, CNN did a documentary of all the people that lost the presidency. The who's who of losers. Mitt Romney, Michael Dukakis, John McCain. The who's who of losers. Who the hell wants to be part of that? Who wants to be part of that? You do what you got to do to win. And that's what Trump did. And now that he's won, he sits in the Oval Office with Obama and goes, I'll from time to time ask President Obama for his counsel. It was an honor to meet. People are like, what? How could he say that? What do you mean? How could he say that? Well, why? How could he even meet with him? The birther stuff. What do you mean the birther stuff? He did what he had to do to try to get Mitt Romney elected. Because the Republicans didn't want to go that route. So they needed a guy to do it. Just like Harry Reid was the guy who said, Romney doesn't pay his taxes. Romney doesn't pay his taxes. MoveOn.org, Bob Creamer. All of these people do the dirty work that the faces in the Democrat Party don't want to do. Or in Harry Reid's case, is fine to do because he knows he's going to wind up retiring. You haven't seen the video of Harry Reid getting called on what he did with Romney? And they were like, I don't know if it was Dana Bash or one of those other idiots who are like, yeah, but you knew it when he just tried. He was like, eh, whatever. Harry Reid was basically saying, I did what I had to do to make sure Obama won. End of story. End of story. How could Trump and Obama meet the birther thing? Yeah, the birther thing. Yeah, something that Hillary Clinton and her crew started back in 07, 06, 05. And Republicans went, damn, they should have went harder on that. And when it came to 2012... you had Republicans that went, oh man, you'll be called a racist. You'll be labeled a, you can't do it. And they went, maybe we can get Trump to do it. He wants to be, you know, part of the mix. He likes to have the attention. So they called up Trump, and Trump went, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll do it. Well, whatever, guys. So Trump did it. End of story. Had nothing to do with race. Had nothing to do with some deep personal, I hate black people. It was like, all right, he's a Democrat. I'm with you guys. I'm a Republican now. We fight to win. End of story. Trump won today, went today as a winner. I mean, even that idiot Megyn Kelly told a story the other night when people were talking on her panel about the meeting that Obama and Trump were going to have. And she was like, listen, you all remember when I asked him that question, and you remember the months and months and months after tweeting, giving interviews, supporters. And she goes, we buried the hatchet by me going to the Trump Tower, and he acted as if nothing happened. He acted as if nothing happened. Was warm and friendly, and this panel was like, what? How could that be? What do you mean, how could that be? Trump did what he had to do to win. And that whole thing with Megyn Kelly was about winning. It's about pushing back. It's about maneuvering. It's about playing the media. And after it's all said and done, and he's got the nomination, he's going into the general election, there's no more debates left, everything's been left on the battlefield floor, what's he going to say? Hey, what's up, twat? What's up? She came up, and he's like, hey, great, it's nice to see you. How you doing? Oh, yeah, sure. You guys are just really baffling to me. That's all I can say to you all. You're baffling to me. How you don't get this. So then, what was brought up as we close out this segment was that when Trump left, he did not tell anybody he was leaving. After he met with Obama, and then he met with McConnell, and then he met with Paul Ryan, and did the little tour of the Capitol, he did not notify anyone that he was gone. He then hopped in the limo. The motorcade followed him to the airport. He got on the Trump plane and went back to New York. And you want to know why nobody knew when he left, when he arrived to the airport? Because there was no traveling press pool. There was no traveling press pool. And if there was a traveling press pool, they would have been traveling with him. And according to Wolf Blitzer, this has to change. Once he becomes president, this has to change. If it does not change now, it is unacceptable. It is tradition for a traveling press pool to be with the president-elect and president 24 hours a day and shadow his every move. Tradition. Like the tradition of Obama taking a picture with Trump and Melania and Michelle. That tradition. The tradition of a bunch of snowflake liberals shutting down freeways because they didn't like the outcome of an election. Tradition. Right, Wolf? You little scumbag. Remember, don't let your eye off the media, your foot off the gas. Our job is not done. Our job is only done when Obamacare is repealed and people whose premiums have gone up 100 or 200% go back to the way they were pre-Obamacare till we have a comprehensive immigration bill that actually enforces and punishes illegals. When we have a tax code that works for all men and women. When we could feel safe that someone's not going to practice their warped religious ideology and slaughter us at a Christmas party. All of these things we have to get done. And the media is going to try to derail every single one of them. So don't let your foot off the gas and your eye on every single one of these corrupt mother effers. Just because we won. Just because we won. Doesn't mean we want to be like the Cubs and take another 100 years to have that feeling again. We want to be like the Patriots, where we're in the playoffs every year. We're in the AFC Championship game every year. And we practically win Super Bowls every year.